Greetings and good day. This is Striving to Thriving, your resource for information and encouragement for reclaiming your life from chronic pain. I'm your host and certified health and wellness coach, David Hull. I'll discuss the biological, psychological, and social aspects of living with chronic pain and promise to do so with kindness, hope, and encouragement. If you live with chronic pain or you know someone who does, you've come to the right place. In some episodes, I'll interview recognized experts in the field of chronic pain. This podcast is for you, so your input is greatly appreciated and needed in order for me to make our time together have the greatest value for you. If you have ideas or topics you feel are important to the chronic pain community, please shoot me an email to david@strivingtothriving.com. I'd love to hear from you, and I'll try to incorporate your ideas where appropriate. All listeners assume responsibility for their own medical care, treatment, and oversight. All the content provided in this podcast, including treatments, dosages, profiles, advice, are for informational purposes only and does not constitute the providing of medical advice, nor intended to be a substitute for independent medical professional judgment, advice, diagnosis, or treatment. I dedicate this podcast to the fond memory of Dr. Lisa Jo Stearns. She was my pain specialist, mentor, and friend. Without her, this podcast would not be possible. Greetings and good day. This is the fifth in a series on movement as a means of reducing and managing your pain. In the first episode in this series, I covered how and why movement is your best painkiller. In the second episode, I introduced the importance of stretching and how to do it safely. Next came building endurance through walking. And last week, I covered how to develop strength using appropriate workout options given your abilities and confidence. And today, I'm going to cover balance. In this context, I mean physical, mental, and emotional balance, as all three are important to pain management and pain reduction. Your mobile phone is ringing, your manager needs to speak to you, and your spouse is demanding to know what's for dinner. Stress and anxiety are everywhere, and there seems to be no end in sight. If stress produces the worst in you, you might consider hitting the mat and trying Tai Chi or yoga as a form of release and finding and developing physical balance. Yoga is a mind-body practice combining physical poses, controlled breathing, and meditation or relaxation. It may reduce stress, lower blood pressure, and lower your heart rate, and almost anyone can do it. Almost. Yoga is one of the many types of complementary or integrative health therapies or exercises. It brings together both physical and mental disciplines that may help you achieve peace and balance in both body and mind. Yoga can help you relieve and manage stress and anxiety. Yoga has many styles, forms, and intensities. Hatha yoga is a style that may be a good choice for stress management. It's one of the most common styles of yoga. Beginners may appreciate its slower paced and easier positions, but most can benefit from any style of yoga. The core components of Hatha yoga, and for that matter, most general forms of yoga, are poses, breathing, and meditation. The poses are called postures and are a sequence of moves performed to develop strength and flexibility. Poses range from lying down on the floor while fully relaxed, to difficult positions to where you are stretched to your physical limits. Controlled breathing is an essential part of yoga. Yoga teaches that controlling your breathing can encourage you to control your body and calm your mind. In yoga, you may incorporate meditation or relaxation. Meditation may help you determine to be more mindful and conscious of the present moment and do so without judgment. The potential health benefits of yoga include stress reduction, for one, and studies have shown that yoga may help you reduce stress, anxiety, and enhance your mood and overall sense of well-being. It also improves fitness. Practicing yoga may lead to improved balance, flexibility, range of motion, and strength. And yoga can help lessen the risk factors for chronic illnesses such as heart attack and high blood pressure. Yoga may help you alleviate chronic pain, depression, anxiety, and insomnia. Yoga is usually recognized as safe for most active people when performed under the direction of a qualified instructor. There are some situations yoga might present a risk. See your healthcare provider before you do yoga if you have any of the following conditions or situations: a herniated disc, risk of blood clots, eye conditions including glaucoma, If you're pregnant, you have severe balance problems or severe osteoporosis or uncontrolled blood pressure. You may be capable of doing yoga in these conditions if you accept particular precautions, such as avoiding certain poses or stretches. If you develop symptoms such as pain or have concerns, visit your physician to determine if you're getting any benefit and not harm from yoga. Although you can learn yoga from books and videos, newcomers usually find it advantageous to learn with an instructor. Also, classes offer a social component and opportunities to develop friendships, which are likely significant to overall well-being. Those with chronic pain often live lives of isolation for multiple reasons. Maintaining healthy social interactions can have a huge positive influence over your pain. When you locate a class that sounds tempting, chat with the instructor so you know what to expect. Questions to ask include, what are the instructor's qualifications? Where did he or she train and how long has he or she been teaching? Does the instructor have experience serving students with your particular needs or health concerns? If you have physical challenges, can the instructor help you find poses that won't exacerbate your pain or your condition? How challenging is the class? Is it proper for beginners? Will it be comfortable enough to follow if that's your first class? What should you expect from the class? Is it intended at addressing your physical conditions or needs? Is the class targeted for stress management and relaxation? Or is it geared to those who prefer greater physical challenges from other benefits? All of these things you should consider when selecting your class. Every person has a unique body with specific abilities. You may require modified yoga postures based on your individual capacities. Your instructor should be qualified to make modifications to poses to accommodate your needs. Choosing a teacher who is qualified and recognizes your needs is critical to safety and effectively practicing yoga. Regardless of which style of yoga you choose, you don't have to do every pose. If a pose is awkward or painful, or you can't maintain it as long as the instructor requests, don't do it. Good instructors accept and encourage you to explore, but never exceed, your personal limits. Balance exercise can be challenging. Extra caution must be used when performing balance exercises, especially if you're older than 60 years old, as I am, where fall hazards become more frequent for some. As such, balance exercises for the elderly are different than those in younger years. The elderly population struggles with an array of problems having unfavorable effects on their ability to remain steady and stable. Medical conditions such as arthritis, Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, multiple sclerosis, and heart disease can reduce one's ability to stay balanced and move freely. It is this unsteadiness that eventually leads to falls and subsequently injuries. As with other forms of exercise, professional guidance from a physical therapist or doctor specializing in sports medicine and rehabilitation is highly recommended. There are many different kinds of yoga, but the most common form in the United States is called Hatha yoga. Hatha yoga is a generic term referring to any type of yoga that teaches physical postures. Most classes taught in the West are Hatha yoga and are readily available. When a class is advertised as Hatha, it usually means you will get a gentle introduction to the most basic postures. You probably won't work up a sweat in Hatha yoga, but you should end up leaving a class feeling looser and more relaxed. Restorative yoga is a pleasant way to relax and can calm distressed nerves. Described as yin yoga, restorative classes use bolsters, blankets, and blocks to prop students into passive poses so the body can experience the benefits of a pose without having to exert any extra effort. A good restorative class is more revitalizing than a nap. Studios and gyms frequently offer them on Friday nights when just about everyone could use some profound rest. One form of restorative yoga is Iyengar yoga. BKS Iyengar developed and popularized it, and it's a very particular style of yoga with greater attention paid to finding the correct alignment in a pose. In order to help each student find the proper alignment, Iyengar studios provide a wide assortment of yoga props, as I mentioned earlier. Blocks, blankets, straps, and chairs are all common in these studios. While you won't get your heart rate up, you'll be surprised at how physically and mentally demanding it is to stay put. Iyengar teachers take comprehensive training. If you have an injury or a chronic condition, Iyengar yoga is likely your best choice to ensure you get the knowledgeable instruction you need. If you're seeking a way to minimize stress, consider Tai Chi. Established centuries ago for self-defense, Tai Chi developed into an elegant form of exercise that's now applied for stress reduction and a range of health conditions. Characterized as meditation in motion, Tai Chi develops serenity through slow, continuous, flowing movements. Tai Chi is an ancient Chinese practice that's now engaged in as a beautiful form of exercise, called Tai Chi Chuan. It's self-paced and a combination of gentle physical exercise and stretching. Each posture flows into the next without pause, keeping your body in continual motion. It comprises a series of movements done in a slow, focused manner with relaxed, deep breathing. Tai Chi has many styles. Each style may emphasize various Tai Chi principles and methods, and there are variations within each style. Some styles may concentrate on health maintenance, while others focus on the martial arts form of Tai Chi. It differs from yoga, as yoga comprises holding various bodily postures while breathing techniques are employed along with meditation. With Tai Chi, the movements are continuous without pause. Tai Chi is also low impact and it places minimal stress on muscles and joints, making it safe for all ages and all fitness levels. Because Tai Chi is a low impact workout, it may be a good option if you're an older adult who otherwise would not work out. Those who suffer with chronic pain or have other physical limitations and restrictions, they may find Tai Chi is a good choice and a safe starting place for healthy exercise. You may likewise discover Tai Chi inviting because it's economical, requiring no specialized equipment. You can do Tai Chi anywhere, indoors, outdoors, alone, or in group classes. Although Tai Chi is safe, women who are pregnant or people with joint problems, back pain, fractures, severe osteoporosis, or hernias should first consult with their healthcare providers before trying Tai Chi. They may prescribe modifications or avoidance of particular postures. So why would a person try Tai Chi? Well, when practiced correctly and done regularly, Tai Chi can be an effective part of a comprehensive program to promote your health. The benefits of Tai Chi include improved flexibility, balance, and agility. Improved muscle strength and definition are also another benefit. Tai Chi is known to decrease stress, anxiety, and depression while help improve your mood. It also improves aerobic activity and increased energy and stamina. While more research is required to establish some of the health benefits, some evidence suggests that Tai Chi may also help enhance the quality of sleep, improve your immune system, lower blood pressure, and improve joint pain. As with yoga, there are books and videos that you can buy on Tai Chi, but first consider seeking guidance from a qualified Tai Chi instructor to gain the full benefits and learn proper techniques. You may call on local fitness centers, health clubs, or senior centers to locate a class near you. Tai Chi instructors don't have to be accredited or attend an accrediting training program. However, it's a wise idea to inquire about an instructor's education and experience and get a recommendation if available. Tai Chi instructors can teach you specific positions and breathing techniques and how to perform Tai Chi properly if you have injuries or chronic conditions or balance coordination issues. Although Tai Chi is slow and gentle and rarely has any negative side effects, it may be possible to injure yourself if you don't practice proper techniques. This is why you should start with an instructor, so you can learn safe and correct movements and, of course, not have to unlearn bad habits from trying to do it the DIY way, learning from videos. Though you may reap some benefit from a Tai Chi class lasting 12 weeks or fewer, you may experience greater benefit if you engage in Tai Chi for the long term and become more skilled. You may find it helpful to practice Tai Chi in the same place every day at the same time to develop a routine. But if your schedule is erratic, do Tai Chi whenever you have a few moments. You can even practice the soothing mind-body concepts of Tai Chi without performing the actual movements. This is one of the great benefits of Tai Chi. The mindful aspects of Tai Chi are useful when you're in a stressful situation. such as a traffic jam or a tense work meeting, for instance. I encourage you to explore both Tai Chi and yoga as forms of exercise for developing and maintaining balance physically, mentally, and emotionally. In closing, your choice of yoga versus Tai Chi is of lesser importance than your choice to get moving or stay moving. This series on movement for pain reduction hopefully gives you some ideas of good places to start an exercise program for pain management if you're not already engaged in one. Combining yoga or Tai Chi with proper stretching are excellent steps in reducing your pain, gaining in flexibility, and embarking on new experiences healthy for both body and mind. I want to close by making an important point. Certain medical conditions and most chronic pain experiences are exacerbated or made worse with stress, anger, and anxiety. Mental and emotional balance, not just physical conditioning, play a significant role in pain management well beyond the physical experience. You might recall from an earlier podcast that once acute pain morphs into chronic pain, the chronic pain experience manifests itself inside the brain and the spinal column, not necessarily where we experience it. As such, stress, anger, and anxiety, which are all processed in the same part of the brain as pain, have a direct impact on the severity of your pain experience. Achieving physical, mental, and emotional balance is critical in pain management. Finding balance should become a normal part of daily living. My hope and prayer is that this podcast makes a positive difference in your life and in your relationships with those close to you. You've been listening to Striving to Thriving, and I'm your host, David Hall. Until next time, be well, take care of each other, and be kind to yourself.